Now, where we find a preclear out of present time, we are prone to think in our charitable way that he is stuck on the time track and that some other force greater than his own is sticking him on the time track. But we long since learned that there was something going on here which the preclear apparently liked. Well, where do you find him stuck? You find him stuck in drama. Now, how does he ever get into this drama? Well, he gets the idea that that is something worth confronting. The drama. You know, some Indians had him tied to the stake, and they were circling around him one way or the other, and they chopped his scalp off and didn't even send it home to mother. This is worth confronting. Picture of all of this going on. Well, he got lured into this on the idea that if he just had more to confront, he would be more famous, he would be more this, he would be more that, there'd be more prizes offered. He could demonstrate his courage and gallantry and that sort of thing, and the glory would be greater. And he'd face up into these things, and they go off on a gradient scale to things nobody could possibly confront, and which he never did confront, and that is when he goes Anatin. First, he starts facing these things which are, he considers, worth confronting. And if he considers enormous drama to be the only thing that's worth confronting, then he easily slops over into enormous chaos. When he goes over in enormous chaos, he gets caught up in the fact that nobody could possibly confront the thing. But he's already stuck on an earlier postulate that there was nothing worth confronting. And so he gets no havingness in the physical universe. Now, this is one of the tricks by which people run down other people's havingness. They tell him, nothing around here is worth looking at. Nothing around here is worth looking at all. Nothing. There isn't anything interesting happens in this town. This town is a dull town. I think America invented the small town just to convince people there was nothing worth confronting. And these small communities and these small minds will work one way or the other of making nothing out of the things that a kid was willing to confront. And so they bred, as the child grew older, a contempt for anything in his vicinity. And the kid started looking around for something worth confronting. Well, nobody tipped him off as to what was worth confronting. See, there was never enough, and so forth. You pick him up one day, no Sonic, no Vizio, mind all caved in. Now, what did he do? He walked up looking for something worth confronting and went over the edge and went into this chaos that I was talking about in the first part of the lecture. Now, he tried to control it. He tried to keep that from happening. He found that the most positive control that he could render would not fight back the postulate that he had to have something worth confronting. He was trying to fight against his own postulate, and he didn't make it. All right, what do we get then? We get a chaotic condition where every time we try to make the individual confront something, he merely goes back to something that is considered to be worth confronting. Highly dramatic, chaotic, colorful in some fashion. He just merely slides back that far. That's the all further he goes. Well, if you can get him back there, that's fine. But he doesn't stick there. He goes right on up and he has to have more. The second he wants more, he goes back into all of this chaos of ridges and shooting stars and space opera and everything else. You see, that was worth confronting. And he gets mixed up into electronic ridges and implants and stuck in again. So if you just ran confront it on somebody, confront your bank, all right, that's fine, just confront your bank, you might get somewhere. You know, I just told him to do that, nothing more. You might get someplace simply by running out the fact that he was confronting the thing. But let's be a little sharper than this, and let's look at its anatomy very closely, and we will discover some horrendous processes.